Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler.
And I'm Steve Brett.
And this week, it looks like it's going to be some kind of like American election or midterm, they call it midterm election special slash how much do we hate snobs? I don't know. How much how is that how you'd
Social elite.
Yes. But we'll get to that in a bit. Just going to pimp 15th of November, we're going to be in Skeptics in the Pub in Cardiff. I thought I'd get the announcements in at the start of the podcast this week. So we're going to be there. It's in the Promised Land in Cardiff. Starts at 7 o'clock. We're going to be there. I think it's a couple of quid on the door, and you get to hear Councillor John Dixon talking about his fight with the Church of Scientology. Also, I want to pimp our upcoming debate, which is on, well, it's religion is a force for good. Stephen is for the motion and I'm against it. Steve, I hear you've been doing lots of research for this.
Loads of research.
Yeah.
Though, like, there's plenty of time. It's a couple of weeks away yet. It's, running through some arguments in my head, getting them prepared, and, we'll have something decent by the time it comes around, I hope.
Yeah, you're not going to give anything away, you know?
Well, no.
Give me a heads up.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So that's going to be great. That's the 24th November before you go away,
Yep.
and it's obviously just before the Hitchens-Blair debate, which is on a very similar theme. So I'm going to move on straight into my first story, and it's actually the reason I put it first is because it's just completely different to all the other stories.
Okie
Everybody's been banging on about this week on
The
Twitter.
X Factor?
No, we don't do popular culture
No, I
here.
know. That's why I was just surprised that you were coming in with, everyone's been banging on about it.
No. It's been on Twitter, it's been on Facebook, it's just been everywhere, and it's annoying.
Okay.
Okay? And this is Time Traveller found in a Charlie Chaplin film.
Oh, yes, I've seen this. Yes.
Yes, I
Yeah.
thought you'd seen it, but
I haven't actually seen the YouTube clip. But I have seen the very grainy, dubious image of a woman with a hand by her ear as she's walking
yeah.
through a scene in one of the films.
And this is kind of like a testament to the human imagination, because it manages to leap to the most, I don't know, absurd conclusions. I mean,
Well, I mean, come on, the absurdity of it straight away is in the fact that, first of all, there was no mobile phone network back in the 20s.
yeah.
Secondly, I've just invented a time machine. What's the first thing I'm gonna do? Teleport myself back to a movie set, walk in front of a camera, whilst making a phone call on my mobile phone to who knows
Yeah.
I'm making the phone call to, because unless I've got a particularly amazing connection, I don't think I'm gonna get in touch with anyone for the next 80 years.
Yeah, but I mean, you make out like that the time traveler, the first thing they did was go to there. But they might have been all over time and just decided
Yeah,
it was,
okay.
they got so bored, they looked at their list and go, ah, B part
Charlie
of a
Chaplin
Charlie
film.
Chaplin movie.
Yeah, but the other point is, let's face it, right? If I invent a time machine, surely I've invented a better communication device than a mobile phone.
Well, that's one of the arguments against it is why would you'd have some kind of brain implant or something, wouldn't you? Or something that you can just communicate with hands free at
Exactly,
least.
yeah.
But I just thought it was quite funny that is time travel such a pervasive kind of fictional occurrence? We know it's fiction, but everyone's heard of time travel.
Theoretically possible.
Okay, we'll save that for another podcast. But yeah,
Well,
we should really write these things down. But
no, I'm just thinking of the theory of relativity, which doesn't necessarily suggest time travel, but
as I said, we'll save it for another one. Okay, I'll have to go and swat up on my general and special relativity. But what I mean is, it's like
The instant thought is that
yeah,
it's,
it's
yeah, I
like.
agree, yeah, it's crazy.
And it kind of reminds me, and this isn't me just being facetious or anything, is when somebody found some chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Right, okay.
So straight away they knew what that was, didn't they?
That's obvious what it was, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So,
But you can't discount the obvious, can you? Just no, before you criticise me.
No.
I'm not saying that that was the case, that it was Moses' crossing of the Red Sea. That's not what I'm saying at all. And I'm sure it's quite likely that maybe some ships carrying chariots might have sunk in the Red Sea. But you would have to investigate it, wouldn't you? You know, if it...
If these wheels were that old, it's going to be pretty hard to work out how they actually did get there.
Yeah, but I suppose you can carbon date them and at least find out how old they are. Actually, you know, they're not 5,000 years old. They're only, you know, 2,000 years old.
Yeah, but it's the case of it's the plausibility thing. You know, you find something. Generally, you should go for the plausible. You know, I mean, what's more plausible than a ship?
But at this point, I'd like to quote Rafa Benitez.
Okay.
On a famous Spanish proverb, okay, which is, if there's white liquid in a bottle, surely it's milk.
No? Are you serious? Would you just pick up any old white liquid and drink it? No,
I think you wouldn't. Certainly wouldn't.
No, so I think that proverb sucks.
But apparently, I guess it doesn't translate quite so well from the Spanish into the English.
Either that or is there a lot of Spanish people running around with milk moustaches or something? If you put it in these terms, right, you find a wheel, okay, you know, and at the bottom of the Red Sea. Now, you know, the ships carrying chariots over it all day,
absolutely,
every day.
Yeah.
Ships sink, we know this. It's most plausible. But for some people, it seems more plausible that 600,000 people were running away from the Egyptians and the seas were parted.
Yeah.
And all that. But it'd be kind of like saying you find a CD on the floor in the middle of a car park, and you're like going, what the hell's a CD doing in the middle of the car park? And then you say, oh, I know what happened. Aliens came from space, okay? They abducted, a record label director, and in his bag was loads of CDs, and as they abducted him and he flew up into the sky, a CD fell out and landed on the floor. You're like, what the hell are you on about? Don't you just mean some guy dropped the CD on the floor?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with time travel. It's just quite strange how people think that is more plausible than...
There's a woman scratching her ear.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe she was just plain crazy. Apparently she did appear to be talking to herself at one point. But really, time travel? And, you know, people... If I was a time traveller, I'd be so awesome at, obviously, not appearing to, you know...
Oh, no, I'd want to appear at all the major events, you know, in the same kind of way Marty McFly and the Doc appeared in Back to the Future 3 in front of the town clock. You definitely want to be there for some of the unveiling of great moments. I'm not necessarily sure that a walk-on part in a Charlie Chaplin film defines those great moments, however.
No. But it's kind of like, in Doctor Who, where, you know, you've got these people that see him throughout history in all these photos, and they say, he's a time traveller. I mean, that might count as evidence if there's a picture of a guy 200 years ago, and it's the same guy, the same age, 100 years later, and then another 50, and then another 50 or something. Then maybe.
But there's one picture of some ropey bird looking like she's on a mobile phone.
Well, it looked like a guy in drag more than anything. It didn't look...
Ooh, the plot thickens.
it was a cross-dressing time traveller. Yeah, okay. So I just... And, you know, there's loads of YouTube videos of this. And there was people that were almost mocking, you know, the more sceptical people saying, look, you've been serious, guys. And they were actually mocking them, going, it's right staring you in the face. It's so obvious it's a mobile phone. You know, you're just, you know, being a... You just don't want to... want to deny time travellers exist.
What make and model is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd want to know that.
Because I tell you what, again, if I was a time traveller and I did want to take my mobile phone with me, I'd be taking my iPhone with me, not some crappy... Well, I won't say a crappy brand because that wouldn't be very fair, but just some crappy tin pot phone.
And I'd just like to point out that we don't endorse any particular brand of phone on this podcast.
I endorse the iPhone, and I'm going to say that out loud and proud.
Okay, well,
you can edit that out.
I'll edit it out, and I'll leave in the bit where I say iPhones suck. So let's start with the big one this week: American elections.
Yes, okay. Midterm.
Midterm elections. I haven't been following this too close because, to be fair, it doesn't really affect me.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I haven't either. I mean, I take quite an interest in the presidential election, I have to be honest with you, but I've not really, in recent years, paid a great deal of attention to the midterms until this year, where I have sort of perked my ears up a little bit more because of this Tea Party movement.
Yeah, Okay, so your interest is peaked. How did they do then?
Unfortunately, they did quite well by all accounts.
Yeah.
They've got some senators. They have some seats. The Republicans, obviously, as a result of that, have taken back over control of is the House of Representatives, is it called?
Yeah, the house.
It's well, for me, I think it's a little bit disturbing. I find it quite frightening, to be
Yeah,
honest with you.
definitely.
That what is one of the richest countries, if not the richest country in the world, has such a limited grasp of, well, humanity, I'd like to say, that they elect these people in who have got an agenda to, well, frankly, shit on the working classes.
Is sometimes you think, ah, oh, maybe we should just, I just can't wait until this blows up in their face, maybe America should just vote in all these Tea Party people and we'll see
Absolutely.
what happens in
And that's
10
the
years.
scary thing, because I was sat there this evening thinking the same thing as we were, preparing before we started. I was looking at it thinking, well, do you know what? I'd love for the Tea Party to get elected and be a president, President Tea Party, whoever that would be, and just watch them make an absolute almighty balls up of their country and watch the people go, oh my God, what a mistake we've made. Unfortunately, because of the position of America within the world, the whole world would have to suffer that decision.
Well, I just stop
We had to
with the
suffer Bush.
people would suffer, the poor would, the poor especially would suffer, and yeah, so for me it's like a little thought experiment, I know what it'd be like, they'd get their dream country where, everyone paid low taxes, nobody had to look after the poor, no one had, the welfare state would
Yeah.
be, reduced
Kids
to.
died of polio and cholera and diphtheria because they couldn't afford the basic sanitation and basic medical treatment that they need to,
Yeah, I mean, they'd probably say our vaccines, we're no longer enforce them, we'll just, if people can have them if they want
let's relaunch smallpox, let's control the population. Let's,
Well, when it's just the
wipe out
poor
the
people
plebs.
dying, it doesn't matter so
Well,
much,
no,
does it?
absolutely not. What are they going to contribute to society?
Exactly. So, but as I said, as a thought experiment, I kind of get some kind of kick out of thinking of how much of, a disaster it would be.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like Idiocracy. Now I've seen it, I can actually say that.
Yeah.
But, obviously, if it did happen, I just don't think people understand.
No, I mean, they don't. And, I find it, for me, I find it amazing that people in America, just using this as one example out of the whole policies, can see President Obama's welfare reforms as being somehow the work of the devil. I can't understand how providing healthcare access for 30 million people is actually in some way bad.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I think there's a fallacy in America that competition produces better services. I beg to differ on that case and say actually you could just end up with a lot of mediocre services paying a lot of money for it because actually they don't have to strive to be the best if they've got their market base already.
Well, as a kind of more centrist kind of person, I think, I think that capitalism has its place. But I think there's certain things where you're naturally going to
I
have.
would, sorry to interrupt you, but I would disagree with you there. I would say capitalism well and truly fails. That's why we find ourselves in this financial situation we find ourselves in now, which is another thing which I can't believe the Americans don't understand. They're blaming Obama for the current financial crisis. That was all put in place by the failure to regulate the banks and businesses under the Bush regime and regimes before that.
Yeah, and I agree with that. There have been a lot of people to blame Obama for what was caused by the previous administration. So maybe what Democrats should start doing is now that we have the Tea Party in position, give them a week and then start complaining, that they haven't fixed the economy. What's going on?
Well,
Because
yeah,
that's what they've been doing with Obama the whole time.
exactly. It's ridiculous. I think the Americans need to get real and need to, wake up to themselves and understand that actually, this is a global recession. It's not what was a global recession. It's not just affecting their country, and actually, their bankers, their free economy, their big businesses, are actually quite culpable for a lot of the problem that the world is suffering because of the complete balls up of their subprime market.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, that's one of the places where this started.
No, I understand that, but I just, I'm not, I don't.
I know you understand it, John. I don't understand how Americans don't
No, no,
understand
no,
it.
no, but I, no, just going back to what you said about how, capitalism's failed, I understand where you're coming from, but what I'm saying is, for me, it's not an either-or situation, it's not a black and white. I think that, competition does serve a purpose, but this unchecked, unmetered, capitalism that the Tea Party is striving for, we shouldn't have any checks, just let it work on its own, it'll always work out for the best. This belief in capitalism as an ideal is flawed
Yes.
because it does not take into account the people who suffer at the end of it. Because
No.
capitalism, by definition, is there's winners and losers. And as far as the stock of companies go, if a company isn't worth its price, it's not worth its price. And so it's capitalism's job to identify that. But when we're talking about the lives of people, it doesn't work, and with on that, I agree. But I think that we can actually work to a happy medium in the case of an economy.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. I don't think competition per se is a bad thing. I'm not
Yeah, well, that's
advocating.
just what I wanted to
Yeah, I
highlight.
just want to clarify my position. Yes, I do believe some things, are better state run. However, I'm not one for nationalization of everything, and
No, neither am I.
that's not what I'm at. Competition is good in some respects, but competition is not good when you're failing to provide basic human rights. Which is what happens in America with the medical system.
And when you're failing to provide competition, because there's instances in every country of governments saying, well, we want to have a hands-off approach on this sector because we want there to be competition. But ultimately, there is only one player, and there is a monopoly going on,
Yeah.
and that's with this week's news of Murdoch and shares of PCCB.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily want to get into that right now, but I can see what you mean. If it's just left, capitalism can be good and it can be bad. It's just like every other thing, So, as long as we agree on that, I didn't want you to come across as a communist. That's all,
Well, no, absolutely not. But that's the other thing which
Unless
really
you are a
winds.
communist.
No, I'm not. But that's the
No.
other thing which really winds. I am a socialist, but that's one of the other things
Yeah,
which
sure.
really winds me up with Americans, that they see socialism or any form of social justice as being communist.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, this is just a hangback from, the McCarthy era
Well, yeah, of
and
course it is. But that shows to me it's another failing is the American education system clearly isn't working. And that brings us on, universities quite nicely.
Well, hang on, you're really getting ahead of yourself there, aren't you?
Well, I just you've got your list and we can stick to that. But I think, we talk about education and failing education and how people keep talking in this country about how we want to have a market and a education for higher education system, similar to America's, because America's this great paragon of higher education. And people don't understand basic politics in their country.
No, especially when you got people like Christine O'Donnell who lost,
Which,
luckily.
frankly, is amazing.
Think there's best news of the week, perhaps.
I think so, because, as I said, I said earlier that, yeah, give them a chance, let them get in and hang themselves. But actually, do you know what? I would pity any state which would have had that woman as its senator.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anything more scary, to be honest with you. Possibly she is more scary than Sarah Palin.
Yeah, could you imagine two of them? Not in some kind of lesbian encounter, but as
Yeah,
in.
because even then that would be sick.
But yeah, but.
How can you turn something so beautiful so wrong, John?
Yeah, sorry about that. But no, yeah, you were alluding to something which I want to talk about now, which is Facebook drama.
Yes.
Okay, now this is real life Facebook drama. This isn't some news story that we picked up somewhere. This is happening in our own
We're keeping it
backyards.
real.
We are keeping it real. It's happening in our own backyards. Our children are exposed to this. Think of the children, okay? I got some very interesting friends, I don't agree with all of them, and they don't all agree with me, obviously. And I think that's a good thing, more
Yeah.
than anything. So, and I'm not going to mention any names, and I'm going to try and keep this. This isn't personal. It's more the sentiment and the kind of behaviour of people that I just wanted to highlight, and I'm not looking to sh name and shame, although to be fair, they should be shameful, really.
Having read what I've read, I would agree.
Yeah. Okay, so on Facebook, a friend of mine, we'll just call him M. He's a pretty harmless guy, he's not going to go and join the Tea Party tomorrow or anything. But he's definitely not liberal. Just to kind of paraphrase, because I won't include all the language, it's something along the line of agrees that the increase in university fees is a good idea, and it should discourage the time-wasting, lazy, dull feckers that should be in work from using up resources needed by actual soon-to-be professionals. Now, when I saw this, I was like, yeah, it's just typical of him to say something like that. Sometimes I think he may be just baiting me on Facebook.
Possibly.
Because
Let's see what John's going to say to this.
he's not as bad as that sounds, because we actually agree on a lot of things where he doesn't come across as like this kind of conservative person. So, but I just think this is, and he wasn't willing to defend himself. And there was a discussion on this, and he didn't defend his opinion. So I'm just going to say that he's just going with whatever, the media are
Yeah.
saying, basically, because there was no argument. So I just replied, what about the really intelligent, hard-working people that are poor and can't afford to go to university?
Absolutely.
I thought it was a genuine question, because he's basically saying, well, he's saying we don't want time-wasting, lazy, dull people in university.
Which is a fair point.
Yeah, which I'd go far. I'd say I agree with that, but I think he's made this big error of conflating lazy, time-wasting, dull people.
Well, it's just a massive generalization of students again, isn't it? As being, kind of like the young ones or something.
Yeah.
Sat around smoking pot, drinking booze all day, maybe talking a little bit of philosophy, but not actually doing anything. And living quite nicely for 3 years and enjoying that, thank you very
Hey,
much.
there's nothing wrong with discussing philosophy.
No, I'm using that as an example of how students are perceived.
Yeah. But, and I did it in a friendly way. I mean, he could have turned around and said, oh, I didn't mean it like that. I just mean I don't like lazy people. And I'm like going, well, fine. But what's increasing tuition fees? How's that going to discriminate against lazy people?
Yeah,
Because it
and
doesn't, does
no,
it?
not at all.
So, and that's what I was picking up on. But
I
he.
mean, I would suggest, because to some extent, I agree that, and I'm a bit of a hypocrite because I was an exceptionally lazy student when I was in university, and I'm not going to deny that. But then, actually, what you do is rather than saying, well, you can't go to university because you're poor or whatever, say, well, look, you've got to achieve a certain amount, a certain grade consistently throughout your university career. If you don't, you've got to leave.
Yeah,
You know, I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
well, if we're talking about people going on and to an academic endeavor, at the taxpayer's expense,
Yeah.
because even this £9,000,
It's a subsidy, isn't it,
it's a
really, at the end of the
subsidy,
day?
it's not actually what it's going to cost. So I think if they're going to do that, then yeah, okay, so the state should be within its right to expect
A
results,
return, yes, I agree.
just like in the private sector or something like that. Now, my friend M wasn't the first person to reply to me. He obviously has a friend called B, we'll call him, who thought here's an interesting intelligent conversation, or a potential intelligent conversation. Let me just give people my opinion.
And suddenly lower that intelligent ratio.
Well,
Sorry, I know you want to stay away from the personal
let's
attacks. Sorry,
see, let's
yeah.
see. And personal attacks. At the end of the day, if someone is an idiot, like we agree, Sarah Palin is an idiot,
Yes, she is.
and I'm sorry if she takes it personally, but she is.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I'll give people. I'd rather judge people on what they say. If they say something intelligent, then how? Personal attacks would be, very childish of me. So let's see what he has to say. If you're that intelligent, you'll come up with a solution. But more to the point, life isn't fair, not everyone has the same opportunities, and that's never going to change. The sooner people come to terms with that, the better. I'm sick of funding other people's ambitions with my taxes. So, obviously, he feels hard done by,
Yeah.
He obviously works because he's paying taxes. So he feels that he's not getting value for money. Just to analyze it a bit more, so he's saying life isn't fair. Can't disagree with that, but I think he kind of missed my point in so much I'm saying, well, life isn't fair. Let's try and make it a bit fair. And again, so what he's done is all he's done is he's stated the obvious. What is the situation? As if that somehow changes what I'm suggesting. My friend M gives him a slap on the back because obviously he's agreeing with the kind of sentiment.
But you know what, John, if I just interject there for
Yeah,
a
sure.
second. Do you know what? I think, maybe he does have a point, because I'm fed up with my taxes, paying for kids to go to school. Do you know what I mean? You've got poor families who can't afford, wouldn't be able to afford to send their kids to school normally. Well, I'm fed up with funding that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Let's not send them to school. And I tell you what, let's not give them any health care either. Better still,
Why
let's
should
reopen the mines, get those kids down there working, and they can contribute to the taxes. Because, they're useless. They're not doing anything on society other than draining it, are they, to be honest with
No, they're
you?
just a big drain, because we're not. I don't forget the future. You never know what's going to happen. I
No.
don't. There's no point investing in these poor people because it doesn't matter now.
Absolutely not. No.
And
Get
I.
them down the mines. Get them working, sweeping the roads. Maybe, let's get them sweeping chimneys, maybe. I know it's a bit more difficult these days because you've got a lot of gas-fired appliances and stuff.
Well,
But, let's.
but rich people still have log fires and stuff, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think you've jumped the gun there because that sentiment comes off me later. So,
I.
okay, yeah, all right, okay. Stephen's getting very angry, and we barely scratched this. I just said, look, it's kind of simple. University should be for clever people, not rich people.
100% agree.
And I think, and this, although some people may say it's a personal attack, I thought it was more of a just identifying who this person is that I'm talking to. I said, it's quite easy from a middle class background to tell the proles to figure out a way of getting money to go to university at the age of 18. And then I said, your kind of thing, perhaps I could sell an organ or go into prostitution to get the cash. Because ultimately, he's trying to, it's this capitalistic approach, which is let them find the money. They can work hard, they can get money, they can go to university. Well, at the age of 18, you've just left school. So
Oh, I've
what?
got 27 grand hanging around my back pocket.
Yeah.
It's easy. I can, fund that. That's no problem
They
at all.
haven't been working for the last 10 years, so I don't know where this money's going to come from. And I think it's almost like a tell that if he, I don't know whether he went to university or not, but if he did want to go to university, I'm sure he would have been in a position to actually afford it because he would have had backing of his parents. Not saying they pay the whole thing, but I'm sure they'd be able to help out. But he's not considering people that perhaps don't have parents to help them,
No.
or don't have family to help out in the slightest. So, it's just.
Or even people who don't have family in a position to help out.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're just flat broke, they're only just on the breadline, so all the money goes on food. Well, there's definitely no disposable income to put the kid through university. So I said yes. I was being a bit facetious there, but I wanted to make a point. So he thought I was being funny, so he tried to run with the joke, I guess, saying, it could be the new government slogan on education: want to be professional, then join the world's oldest profession. Okay, fine. All right, he wants to be funny. That's fine. But then he says, in all seriousness. And as soon as he said that, I thought, oh, here we go. A country has no obligation to educate its people, but that obligation. Sorry. A country has an obligation to educate its people, but that obligation ends at 16. If a person wants to enter the world of further education, then good for them, but they should fund it themselves. A person that wants to go to university does not have to do so at 18. They could leave school, find employment, sacrifice going out and other drains on the bank balance, and use that money to go to university a few years later. But no one wants to do that. They want to avoid entering the real world for a few more years and party with their friends. They want someone else to pay for it, namely the taxpayer. Wow. That was very interesting. First of all, where does he. I didn't realise that there was this magical age of 16, which he alludes to, saying society. Society's obligation ends at 16. Now, in all of my reading of political philosophy, economics, never come across this magic number of 16, where everybody says that is the age where society no longer... I mean, it seems like a pretty arbitrary number to me.
It does, but I may be wrong here, so I'm happy to be corrected. But and maybe it's just a Welsh thing, I don't know. But aren't students now supposed to stay in school until they're 18 anyway? Or some form of education until they're 18?
Yeah, I think the government, you know, the government has decided that they wanted to extend the amount of time people spend in education to maximise, obviously, the benefit of educating people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people leaving school at the age of 16 and then joining the dole queue. But what he seems to not see is that by encouraging people to get better educated...
Well, I think you've hit on an interesting point there as well, John, to be honest with you. Which would he prefer, I guess, you know? Someone leaving school at 16, not able to get a job, signing on a dole queue for the rest of their life, or somebody going to university, getting a degree, you know, partially at the expense of the taxpayer, and eventually find the cure for cancer.
Yeah.
You know, which would you prefer?
Well, yeah, and that was the point I was going to make, so you got it there.
Sorry.
No, that's fine, that's fine. It doesn't matter who it comes off. We're both right. Yeah, so first of all, what's this? All of a sudden, he's named this magic age of 16, which was kind of random, because there's no basis for that. But he's basically saying if people want to go to university, university's not like school, apparently. It's this other thing that's completely different, and somehow that if they want to go there, they have to pay. You know, it's not like other education. And that's what you were saying with, well, why should we pay for any kids to have any kind of education? Absolutely. So, yeah, so he's saying, well, you know, people should just perhaps not go to university at 18. They should take some kind of low-paid job. So, hang on, what is it, nine? Say it's $9,000 now, is the figure been touted. So you're in university for 3 years. That's 27K, right? So now, and I'm just imagining somebody who, I'm talking about poor people. So how are they going to get... How long would it take for them to get that much money together?
Well, you know, I've just left school at 16, maybe 18, you know. I'm on the national minimum wage, which I don't know what that is at the moment, I'm sorry to say.
It's like £5 odd than that.
So we'll be talking, you know, 11, 12 grand
Let's
a year.
Let's call it they're on £6 an hour, 8 hours, 40 hours a week.
We're talking a long time, John.
Yeah, you're talking $16,000 a year. Now, obviously, you can't save all of that $16,000, can you? Because you've got to eat. You've got to feed yourself.
Pay rent.
Because these are poor people. They're not middle class. They don't live with mum and dad still, necessarily, do they? And even if they did...
Well, they'd have to pay mum and dad some rent to help them out because, you know...
They're poor.
They're poor, yeah.
Right, so... All right, so let's say they managed to scrape together $4,000 a year. I think that in itself is being generous.
Yeah, I think so.
So $4,000. So how long would it take to save $27,000? So 24. It's a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think they're going to be knocking on 25, 26.
Yeah.
Before they even get to university.
3 years of university. With $9,000 in their pocket, which happens to be bare minimum.
Well, and the thing is...
You know, to pay for their fees.
Yeah, that's just paying for their fees, you know.
That's not paying for their cost then of education whilst they're in university, paying for their rent, their food.
Yeah. Books. They won't be able to keep that full time job either anymore, obviously.
Oh, no, of course not. No, that's so, part time then, so. But then they still have to pay the rent and feed themselves.
Yeah. It's going to be difficult, you know, really.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult. You know, I mean, I've been quite generous here, you know. I'm not trying to make out this person. Is like has a disability and is unable to work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about somebody who's got a single, who's like a single mother or something.
Nope.
I'm not even talking about those people. I'm just talking about a normal person who is able to work. It's not looking too good for you, B, because you seem to just be pulling stuff out of your ass. And not, I don't know, maybe he's just never met a poor person. You know, someone who struggled.
Quite possibly.
But ultimately, his message is. It's not his responsibility. He shouldn't have to look after these people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've said, and I thought this was kind of obvious, you know, society does have a responsibility for education, otherwise society suffers.
Yeah.
And then pretty fundamental concept of altruism and, the social contract. We're meant, we're a social species. We look after each other. That is how we've become so successful.
Yeah.
Unless we want to live in a society of idiots and become a third world country, perhaps we should just give up on the working class. And this is where I got a bit facetious again. Let them duke it out in some kind of dystopian battle, watched by gleefully by the upper class while they're quaffing champagne. It's literally. You would be creating two separate
But,
classes here.
John, that isn't such a crazy idea in so much as we've already been there.
Yeah.
Yeah? Industrial Revolution? Ring any bells?
I wasn't there for it, but
But, through our education, we learnt about it.
Yeah.
And actually, what did we find there? You had a group of people who were, socially put upon, whilst actually you had some other people getting very, very rich. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of places like Cardiff Castle. I think they're very beautiful, very nice, great examples of architecture. However, they're built very much on the backs of people who were literally dying to provide that opulent lifestyle for one family. Now, I'm not against success, people, absolutely, they want to be successful, that's fine. But, you can't have this class or this gap in class, which B evidently wants to see reinstated.
Yeah, and just to clarify the point, okay, what you had is you had two classes of people. You had the poor, okay, and then you had the upper class, okay, forgetting all the aristocracy or whatever and everything that was going on at the time. But you had two fundamental classes, okay. Now he seems to be talking, they seem to be talking about people who don't do anything, they're lazy, they're no good, okay. You wouldn't survive. You did. Nobody survived by being lazy or doing anything. The working class were called working class for a reason, because they did all the work. They were hard working.
Yeah.
The upper class, who were born with a spoon in their mouth, just jacked off all day.
Yeah.
Swooning with the women and treating the peasants as peasants.
Yeah.
Okay. Now there's no justice in that. If you believe in any kind of justice, that there should be a bunch of people who do all the work and yet they're the ones that have no benefits in things like
Well, yeah,
healthcare.
and do you know what? The working class was so, well, they just weren't even considered. Take, for example.
But sorry, just to finish my
Oh,
point,
yeah,
what
sorry.
separated the two of them was education. That is what separated them, and that is what he wants to return to. He
Yeah.
wants to take away that thing by giving the people the working class education. We've made them better, and we've made society as a whole better. But he wants to. No, he thinks that that's a bad idea.
Do you know what? I mean, one of my brother's friends when he was growing up, so, that's 4 years older than me, so they're entitled to full maintenance grant when I went to university back in the day, when the grant, was fairly reasonable, actually. He wanted to become a doctor, and he was from a working class family. A working class family who lived in a nice three bedroom house, but, his father worked damned hard to provide for his family. This guy wanted to become a doctor. That's what he aspired to do. And he aspired to do that from a very young age. So he did his A levels, he went to university, he became a doctor. Now, had his family had to cough up that sort of money for fees on top of living expenses for the, what, 7 years it takes to qualify for a doctor,
Yeah.
he would never be able to do it. Now, that's not somebody who's lazy, who sat at home, smoking pot, drinking beer at taxpayers' expense. That's somebody who wanted to go out to become a doctor to make a difference in their life and to make a difference in other people's lives and worked damned hard to get it, but wouldn't have been able to do so had he not had a grant, had he had to pay tuition fees.
Well, B says that he should have not gone straight to university. He should have maybe got a job somewhere and saved up.
Okay, so that's talking about a 3 year degree, we're talking about 27 grand.
Yeah.
We're talking about becoming a doctor, we're talking 7 years of study.
No, it wouldn't have been. I don't know. It wouldn't have been 9 grand then. But if he had
But
to
no,
pay
but
for
you'd be
it,
doing it by
sorry, yeah.
equivalent,
Yeah, sure.
just equivalent amount. Instead of being 27 grand, that suddenly becomes what? My math is terrible. So what, 54?
Yeah.
54 grand for 6 years? So where's that going to come from?
I don't know. Maybe B knows some people who can help him out. I don't know.
I haven't got a qualification, so yes, I'm going to earn a job, which is going to give me, in, say 5 or 6 years, access to that type of money so that I can afford to, imagine, because I'm a working class, I'd probably go out and rob a bank, to be
Oh,
honest with
increasing
you.
crime. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's
It's just
just.
ridiculous.
Okay, yeah, I know. The thing is, I don't want to, I don't want to patronize him, but we are a bit older than him. Okay. Yeah, I do want to be patronizing. Let's continue with this. Okay. So now, all I'm looking for, right, is if he'd come out and said something like, "Oh yes, we need to levy these tuition fees because," and gave me some reasons. Then, I'm happy to carry on that conversation.
Yeah.
But so far, I haven't heard anything apart from just stating the obvious and kind of spouting some sentiment that
Daily
I've.
Mail rhetoric.
Yeah. So here we go. Let's be clear on something. I'm hoping he's going to make a point here. We live in a society of idiots, and will, if we're not careful, become a third world country. Exactly why you seem determined to turn this into a battle of the classes argument, I'm not sure. I don't think the tax-paying public has a responsibility to subsidise anyone's ambitions, particularly when the ambition is to get pissed while studying sociology or other equally useless subjects. Now, it seems to me he's kind of just ignored everything I've said. I'm just talking about. I started off saying I'm worried, I'm concerned about the poor people, people who can't. He still seems to be banging on about lazy people
Yeah.
and people who study sociology. I mean, I've never studied sociology. I'm sure there's a use to it, otherwise you wouldn't have sociology departments.
True.
But obviously he doesn't like sociology, so as far as he's concerned, it's worthless. He doesn't like that I've turned it into a battle of classes. Well, I know I mentioned class, but I was trying to demonstrate the social
The
divide.
dangers of what he was talking about.
But he's basically saying society is already idiots because I was saying, well, society becomes dumb if no one gets educated, which I thought was kind of obvious. So I thought, okay, so I said, okay, so we live in a society of idiots. Basically, I'm saying, for argument's sake, how will reducing education improve that? Why do I get the feeling he's not going to answer that question? For me, this is not a battle of classes, but a battle of equality, where people get opportunities regardless of their background. And I wanted to point out, because I didn't want him to jump to the conclusion, that I'm a rabid communist. I class myself as a socialist, but I'm not left. So I said, I'm not a Labour supporter, and I hate idleness. But letting intelligent people go to university is not subsidising the ambition of individual, it is subsidising the ambition of society. I'm just trying to make some intelligent points here.
Well, that is an absolutely perfectly reasonable point to make. It is subsidizing society, it is planning for the future, it is ensuring we've got doctors, we've got nurses, it is ensuring we've got scientists, it is ensuring we've got teachers. That's what we're talking about. That's who these lazy wasters go on to become.
Okay, so here we go. That may be, so I don't know, is he saying he agrees with everything I've just said? Because if he did, I don't know why he goes on to say, but this country is not currently in a position to subsidise anyone's ambition. Okay, he might be alluding to some kind of economic situation. Expand on it, mate. Tell me, just tell me why that the economic situation is so bad that the deci that we have to make a decision to stop or to hit the poor hard. Due in no small part to the decision made by the people it formerly subsidised to go to university. So here we go. This is so now he's saying there was a bunch of people that got into university and it cost the taxpayer money, and it's these people now that have some kind of agenda. So he's now alluding to some kind of liberal elite or something. I don't know. Equality has nothing to do with receiving a university education. Well, not directly,
No, it's about having the opportunity to
but
pursue
have
a
yeah.
university education if you so choose to.
And some people who currently enjoy the highest possible quality of life experiences have a basic educational background. So what's happening here is he's thinking, if I can pick up on a couple of cases to the contrary, as in Alan Sugar, look, he had nothing, he had no education, he made £1 million. So that one anecdote is just that, an anecdote. It's not going to solve the problem for the whole of society.
Absolutely not. I mean, Lord Sugar is a fine, admirable example of somebody who has worked very hard to get to where they are today, and I salute him for that. But, I'm sure Lord Sugar, actually, yes, he worked hard to get that, but I'm sure his son, and it's not a criticism of his son, but I'm sure his son has had a nice education, including good, top schools and universities. Which, okay, maybe Lord Sugar has paid for, fair enough. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that his son hasn't necessarily followed in his father's footsteps and gone off to launch some kind of entrepreneurial career with £1 in his back pocket.
No. And even Lord Sugar seems to understand the concept of educating people.
Absolutely, because I mean that sort of talent, which has got Lord Sugar to where he is today, is very rare.
Exactly. But he seems to think that all poor people should just do what has,
Become
Lord
Dell
Sugar
Boys, go and
did.
sell stuff out of
Yeah,
suitcase.
they can. If Lord Sugar can do it, everyone can do it. What makes people successful is intelligence, which has little to do with education. Well, if he's talking about this intelligent quotient they use, IQ tests, then okay, that may be an innate ability. But okay, so you're really, really good at maths, adding numbers together. I can't see how without education that will make you an architect, or how that will make you an engineer, because that is education. So his intelligence is not education thing. Well, okay. The very meaning of the word, intelligence is intertwined with education, because without education the intelligence is not it's not molded into
Well,
anything practical.
education is your exercise for your brain. It's how you develop that into that IQ from being a raw product to becoming something which is useful.
So, and just to finish up here, granted, certain degree of ruthlessness, doesn't it? Blah blah blah. It's a dog eat dog world out there, and long may it continue. Okay, good sentiment. A utopian existence doesn't exist outside of fairy tales and university textbooks, of course. Now, but the only thing I wanted to say about this was, again, he's just saying, quoting the obvious. It is a dog eat dog world, but I'm not saying that. That it's not. I'm just saying maybe we can make things better. More backslapping from my friend M. So now I just thought, okay, I've tried to make some intelligent points. There's not been any discussion. All he's done is put out these platitudes at the end of the day. So I just said, hey, there's a new political party that's really shaking things up. They believe that poor people shouldn't be subsidised, money shouldn't be wasted on social welfare, and people need to learn some more respect. And then I put a link to the Tea Party of America's website. And then
Don't encourage them, John.
I know I said they're not in the UK yet, but perhaps you could start up a British branch. You get to meet Glenn Beck and everything. He hates wasting money on poor people too. And I think that the irony was completely lost. I think the sarcasm went well over because B continues, all men are born equal. It's a lovely notion. So I don't know, maybe he's maybe thinking equality is a good thing, but not entirely accurate as is it? So again, he's just saying, well, we don't have equality at the moment.
So, but I'm, because I haven't seen what follows on from the link. I mean, does it link to the Tea Party website, which then says something like, "All men are born equal"?
No, well, I don't know, does it? Should we have a look?
Because that just seems to come out at random. So, what I'm thinking is, has he gone to the Tea Party website and actually setting himself up as further right than the Tea Party?
No, a community committed to standing together, shoulder to shoulder, to protect our country and the constitution upon which it was founded. Well, it's all great them talking about constitution, but they need to learn what it is first.
Well, yeah, Christine O'Donnell proved that.
Yeah, but no, I'm not seeing anything like that. So I don't know whether if he even followed the link, to be honest. But it was only it was a wisecrack,
Yeah,
And
I was just wondering if he'd misinterpreted it completely, you see.
but he's saying all men born equal is a lovely notion, so he likes the idea. But it's not the current situation. Well, I know that.
That's the
That's what
point.
we're trying to change. If we keep it as it is, that's what I'm saying, it's broken. It fails to take into account the preceding generations. That this is true. This is true. I thought he was going to say something intelligent. If your parents can afford to send you to university, then great, have a good time. Well, I think that's just a statement of fact,
okay,
isn't
fair
it?
Fair enough, yeah.
I don't care if your IQ fits the definition of legally retarded. Equally, I don't care if your IQ qualifies you for Mensa membership. If you want I university education, then you pay for it. I'm not going to pick up on his spelling because I made some spelling mistakes, so, you know, and I'm not a Nat spelling Nazi. You know that, Steve.
I'm not saying anything, John.
After all, unless you are particularly selfless, the whole point of going to university is that you should be able to get a high-paying job at the end of your studies. So he's going from the capitalistic approach here. He's saying, well, people only want to go to university so they can get a high-paid job.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't disagree more. You can't be a doctor to help people unless you have a degree and more.
Yes.
So, no, I couldn't disagree more.
And, in all fairness, yes, doctors, when they qualify, have very well-paid jobs.
But they work a lot of hours.
But they live in absolute abject poverty getting to that stage.
So, again, I think it's a naive approach. You know, as I said, I don't want to be nasty, but that is the most naive thing I ever said. I think there's a bit of projection going on here as well, perhaps. You know, surely no one wants to be a doctor to, you know, help people. That's just stupid.
What do you want to do that for? Come on.
So
it's all about the opera and the
fine wine.
Yeah, absolutely, and the Bentley.
So buckle down, get a job in Pizza Hut, pay those tuition fees, graduate, and get your name on a future Fortune 500 list. Sorry. That would be my advice to those applying to university. After all, the sweet is so much sweeter after the sour. Wow. Mr. Platitude today, aren't you? So I just said, and this is me just trying to say, look, you seem to be good at just describing what's happening at the moment. I'm not talking about that. I'm trying to, you know, achieve something here. So I said, you seem to be good at pointing out the failures of the status quo. I'd be interested, and then going back to what we said earlier.
Yeah, rocking all over the world was a bit of a dodgy tree, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. Why do they have to name themselves after such a great, you know, word? I would also be interested to see how you could earn enough money to go to university to have a roof over your head and feed yourself by working a part-time job. You can't work 40 hours a week in Pizza Hut and go to uni unless you now advocate people save up all 27 grand before going to university. Which I think, he has said that.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it's quite simple. You can take out... taking the mickey. You know, I thought he was just poeing me. Take out a loan at an extortionate interest rate set by your preceding class man, I might add. So now he's just getting daft. So I kind of just shut down. Now I'm thinking there's no rational conversation going on here.
Yeah, I've learned that you can't actually have a rational conversation with someone who's mental.
And again, he's bringing up drinking and studying sociology. I mean, are they mutually exclusive? Because if they are, I might want to study sociology.
I think that's the point, that they're not mutually exclusive, and actually, you know, they go together, you know, like, as Forrest Gump would say, carrots and peas.
And he wants to characterise my position of educating poor people better so that they're not poor anymore and a drain on society with trying to have my cake and eating it, which is our favourite phrase.
Yeah.
So then there's some more people thinking he's the most amazing guy in the world. And then I just said, because I have given up now, so I just said, I just thought that a civilised Western society, we appreciate concepts such as the greater good instead of being a bunch of whiny libertarian Daily Mail readers who hated poor people, foreigners, women, and progress. Now, I was actually trying to encapsulate the sentiment he was expressing.
Yes.
But I don't blame him for thinking that was a personal attack. So, here he comes now. Okay, I think it's fairly obvious at this point that no one is going to change their view on this subject. To be fair to him, he spotted it, you know. See, how's that for progress? Well, I wouldn't call that progress. Also, I think it's necessary to point out that I do not read the Daily Mail. Okay, so you read The Sun, or The Mirror, maybe.
News of the World, probably.
News of the World. I do not hate poor people. Okay. Foreigners or women. And as far as whining goes, here we go, no section of humanity whines as much as the liberals do. Well, maybe that's probably because we're not happy. You whine about oppression. I don't think I'm oppressed. You know, that's like saying, you know, You know, they
Well, no, because if you were oppressed, John, you wouldn't have had a chance to have an education.
No, no. But, I don't know, oppressed. When people say oppressed, I'm thinking, you know, rounded up, put into concentration camps or something like that. And circumstances like a school child crying about not getting their way. I tried to be intelligent. I know I might have been a bit facetious, but, you know, I think it was deserved. I don't want to pay for it myself, make all those nasty unemployed people pay instead. Sorry, those nasty employed people instead. Well, I wouldn't say that's a liberal thing. I'd say, you know, that's a lazy person who wants to milk the state. But again, who are these people he keeps referring to?
Yeah.
Cause I was
and
talking,
what have they got to do with poor people who want to go have an education?
Because I was talking about poor people who want an education. And this is just what I'm saying.
Right, it's just purely equating poor people with lazy people.
Yes. And that is, this is why I think we're talking cross purposes. He honestly believes that all poor people are lazy.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks that if everyone just worked a bit, they'd be like him. You know, they'd have a great time. You know, on the weekend, going out, having a great time with your mates, doing, you know, some, you know, extreme sports or something.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, I can't go out this weekend or for the next 6 years because I have to save the 27 grand that I need
to go to university. To go to university. Yeah. Quite frankly, it's pathetic, okay? I'm also more sick of this conversation than I can express in words. Well, to be honest, I'm not surprised by that statement. So this is my final response. By the way, oh, and then he apologised for hijacking somebody else's Facebook thread. Okay. So he had some manners at the end, I guess. So I just said, because I did sincerely not mean it as a personal attack, so I said I didn't mean it as a personal attack, just addressing a prevalent sentiment in a recession-hit society. Was wondering how long you'd last, you know, before he either resorted to calling me a Nazi or, you know, just left. At least I've got some material for my evil liberal podcast.
Yes, Chairman Mao.
So there we go. At least my mate, whose thread it was, thought it was entertaining. But he knows me, and he knows that that's the thing I do.
I think it's just a sad state of society, John, that, you know, actually, and again, I fully blame the media. And not just the Daily Mail, you know. We live in a society whereby the media is drip-feeding people all this nonsense all the time that, you know, poor people are work-shy.
Yeah, that there's this massive population of people just sat around laughing.
Look, undoubtedly, there are scroungers.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly, there are people milking society for what they can.
And I am against them just as much as the
next person. And undoubtedly, there are students who've gone to university who've gone there just because they can't think of anything better to do.
My question to B is simple. How does increasing the cost of an education discriminate against lazy people?
Yeah.
More than hardworking people. It doesn't. It discriminates against them equally.
Yes.
And so,
well, there's your equality, John.
Well, if that's some kind of messed up equality at the end of the day.
You know, people are discriminated against in equal measures.
And as I said, I'm not a hater of capitalism. I think competition has its place. However, as a society, if you honestly don't believe that we have a duty, okay, to help others, then okay, we will never agree, and we will never agree on quite a lot of stuff. I also think that technically you may be a sociopath as well.
Yeah. I wonder what his response would be to the trolley problem.
Get him on! I'd love to find out. He'd just be saying, kill them all, kill them all. Doesn't bother me, nothing to do with me.
Can I divert the train down both tracks?
Yeah. You know, it's not me. It doesn't affect me. You know, it's not my responsibility. Okay, fine, it's not your responsibility. I'm just glad that not everybody thinks that way.
Yeah, like I said, it does sadden me, though, that you hear this rhetoric being spouted more and more often. I call it rhetoric because actually you can tell it's people who've had it drip fed to them from the media.
Yeah, as I said, there was no argument. There was an argument presenting some kind of rational
response.
No,
it's just that the newspaper has told me today that actually there's another scrounging off the state.
And I know the media is more responsible than a lot of people understand, but it's not just the media that people get, you know, it's your parents, you know.
Yes.
You grow up, you know, if your parents have been staunch conservatives or whatever, you know, you do. And I was one of them, you know. It takes a while for you to, and I don't want to be patronizing again, you know, takes a while to figure it out for yourself, maybe. So, talking of rhetoric, apparently you read something today in a newspaper. I think his name's Dick.
Well, yes. Yes. There's very other little way to describe him, really. It is the great Mr. Richard Littlejohn.
Doesn't he work for
He works Lib for Dems? A newspaper. he works for a newspaper.
Okay.
Which shall remain nameless.
All right, okay. What, because they wouldn't want to be associated with him or something?
Well, no, just because I can't actually bring myself to say the words anymore tonight. I've said them often enough.
Okay, okay. So what does Dick have to say?
Dick has to say, what a shame it is we can't have a Tea Party PM in Britain.
Oh, right, I see. So, just like we were kind of...
And do you know what? I kind of can't even be bothered to spend time really talking about it. Because, do you know what? Actually, his whole blog, I guess, for want of a better word, which is quite long, is no different to that conversation you had with B. There's nothing in what he has to say that has any substance to it
apart
whatsoever.
From just complaining about having to subsidise other people apart from himself or something.
And how, you know, government needs to be smaller and, you know, you've got these hard-working people coming through, you know, this guy's Rand Paul, you know, he's an optical surgeon and it's the first time he stood for office. And, you know, it's great that he stood for office and he's got elected because, you know, he's going to shake things up. Because, you know, this guy has... And you can maybe help me out with this because I don't actually understand this comment. Okay, so maybe you can help me out because I might be missing something.
Okay.
Victorious Tea Party candidate... This is his opening paragraph, by the way. Rand Paul put it succinctly. People don't understand why they have to balance their family budget, but Congress doesn't. I'll say it again. People don't understand why they have to balance their family budget, but Congress doesn't. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Well, it makes... What, you mean... syntactically, or you just mean the statement in general?
This statement in general.
Well, you know, I mean, what he's trying to say is that he believes that most people have a grasp of accounting, but that...
No, because I would have read it initially as being, people understand why they have to balance their family budget, but Congress doesn't. But he says people don't understand why they have to balance their family
budget. No, he's saying that people, on one hand, say... Yeah, no. I think he's saying people on one hand know that they need to balance the books themselves, but they don't seem to apply the same logic to Congress. He's saying that they're expecting Congress to pay out more than they collect. Saying, you know, he's alluding to this welfare state again.
That just seems like a very badly phrased statement. Anyway, that aside, that was the first statement from it, which was from this chap, Rand Paul. Well, here we go. It's one of your favourite things. Yeah, I'll read out this paragraph as well. Talking about health reforms, most Americans are instinctively hostile to government interference. They prefer to choose their own medical provision, even though health insurance can be ruinously expensive, and fear that any expansion of state control is a slippery slope towards what they regard as European-style socialism. As I've already said, I just think they don't understand what socialism is and the difference between socialism and communism, and they're all still hung up on the whole McCarthyisms, you know, of the 50s and 60s, and
yeah,
the Cold
well,
War.
You know, I think that maybe there is some of them that do understand what socialism is, but they still believe in this sentiment as expressed by B, that they shouldn't have to pay.
But, you know, it's these sort of, this is the rhetoric I'm talking about. You know, most Americans are instinctively hostile to government interference. Back it up. Where's that coming from? What figure is that from? Because, you know, surely the 30 million Americans who haven't got healthcare would quite happily want healthcare provision.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they, when they could afford it, would quite happily pay a higher rate of tax or however it's going to be implemented to pay for that.
And I wonder healthcare. Why. And I wonder why so many people voted for Obama. Was it maybe because he promised healthcare? You know, I mean, people. You know, you got to go with where people are voting. He's talking about his minority fringe group. You know, all he's done is he said, he's just looked around his office and said, hey, raise your hands if you want to make the state smaller. And everyone put their hands up. And he goes, well, if I took that as, a sample of the population, obviously everybody does.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, you're an idiot.
You know, and again, talking about most Americans again, they worry about rationing with state-mandated death panels deciding who gets life-saving drugs. Now, as far as I can understand it, Obama's healthcare reforms, and I may be wrong, so I'm quite happy to be corrected once again, they aren't about providing a national health service as such, but they're just about making sure that insurers provide an actual service to people who are on low incomes.
Yeah.
So the whole death panel thing, you know, deciding who gets which drugs.
And also, rubbish. How is it? Oh, okay. He's just. It sounds obviously, you know, deeply rhetorical. You know, this whole death panel thing. But surely, even going up before a panel of people and having and saying, look, I really need this, is better than having no panel to go and talk to because you can't afford to go and see anybody.
Yeah.
So, what are they on about? What planet are they on? And I'll just poison the well as well. This Paul Rand guy is a complete and utter loon, okay? Big style. He wants a human life amendment putting into the Constitution, which would oppose abortion even in cases of rape and incest. Oh, quite strange. He does support the use of the morning after pill. Okay. Whatever.
Well, isn't the morning after pill a form of abortion?
Well, it is.
Depending on, I mean, obviously, you would disagree with me because obviously.
Well, no. Technically, it is because a contraceptive. I would class just as using terminology. Contraceptive stops.
It's preventative.
Is preventative, and then anything after is. I think when they talk about abortion, they talk about fetuses, not embryos.
Yes.
Where, okay, so the morning after pill is getting rid of an embryo rather than a fetus. So, okay. But I don't understand what his argument...
Well, there's no logic to it, is there?
No, it's a bit of a strange place to draw the line.
You can't be pro-life and then support the morning after pill.
No, I don't... You know,
it doesn't.
He's got his own logic. He's got his own logic. But people who've been raped, he doesn't. You know, tough. You got to have it.
I mean, yeah. Look, this kind of follows on from B's sentiments as well. This is again Dick's sentiments. All we seem to get in Britain and on the BBC in particular is a procession of entitlement junkies lining up to denounce the cuts and demand ever more unaffordable state largesse. Who? I think everyone appreciates the fact that cuts have to be made. Even myself, and I'm not a fan of this government at all at the moment. I think, they're a bit too conservative for me. Even I understand that there has to be cuts along the way, and it does mean that, unfortunately, people are going to lose their jobs. It does mean that some services are going to have to be rolled back, and I understand that. I think anyone in their right mind understands that. I don't think people are opposed to cuts. I think people are opposed to the strength and depth of the cuts that we've seen imposed by the current government.
And just quickly, do you want to do the story on poor people and housing? Because I thought it was a great story.
I think it's a good story as well.
So the question is this: do the poor have a right to live in expensive areas? Now, this has been brought to the forefront by this reduction in housing benefit. So you've obviously got an affluent area where the house prices are quite high, but you have a certain percentage of people there who are actually on housing benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is now, these people who may have lived there their entire lives, whose family has lived there for generations, will be forced to move out. Because of the reduction to their housing benefit,
which is the social cleansing, which Chris Bryant from Labour, alluded to, and also which the Conservatives' very own Boris Johnson has alluded to.
You know, he did mention that this is what's going to happen. As we said, his words are a bit strong, and people have come out and we've already said somebody
rightly
today
criticised him
for using such. Well, it's polemic, isn't it, at the end of the day?
It is. But the sentiment is right.
No, yeah, and it's and we both agreed last week that it is a genuine concern.
Vision, I've read through the article, and which is on the BBC website. It's kind of in their magazine section, and it mentions the story of a chap called Abdi Nur, an unemployed bus conductor, who decided he wanted to, you know, move in London, so, you know, move from his North London home to a £2,000 a week lease in a townhouse in Notting Hill, and presented the council with a bill. Okay, that's an extreme, but that's the minority again. I'm glad that you said it in your opening piece about this. We're talking about people whose families have lived in areas for generations and who now can't afford to live where their whole family are. That's not right.
No. Ultimately, there seems to be some kind of empathy disconnect here. Because I've been fortunate enough that I've always been, you know, I've lived in an affluent family. You know, we've never lived in a deprived area. We've never wanted for anything. You know, there might have been a couple of Christmas presents I didn't get or something. But, you know, I've had a great upbringing.
Yeah, much the same for myself.
Yeah. But I have empathy. I do, you know, I've seen people who are destitute. You know, I've seen the conditions people live in.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, if that was me, I wouldn't like it. And that is what empathy is. And I think that is maybe what B was missing, is that he just can't put himself in the position of these other people that are stuck in a situation where they don't have the cash to get out. And if we take whatever lifeline is left away from them to escape it,
yeah,
you end up with, well, the time of the Industrial Revolution.
You know, John, this is a slight, it's on a similar sort of theme, but slightly different to this particular thing, because it's talking about the housing benefits. But I look at myself as an example. I'm in a job which is relatively well paid. You know, it's not brilliant, but it's relatively well paid. I'm single. I was brought up in a village in, you know, in South Wales, not quite in the valleys, but, you know, not far from there. I cannot afford to buy a home in my own village, despite the fact I'm in a relatively paid well job, and I'm a graduate.
There you go. I think that sums it up at the end of the day, really. And you know, just going back to what, you know, when he was complaining about liberals wanting, you know, everything, you know, on a plate and all that, or, you know, wanting handouts. Well, I've never needed a handout. I'm not telling people to hand me anything. I'm sticking up for the people who are going to suffer as a result,
yep,
of the fact that he doesn't feel any duty towards his fellow man. You know, we are a social species, as I've said. We need to look after each other. And if he doesn't agree with that, then it's his right.
Well, why don't you just go out and start mowing people down in his car? Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day,
well, that will affect him, because you'll get put in prison.
Why should we be funding prisons as taxpayers?
You mean we should, you know, just put them all out their misery?
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, what we're doing by having a prison is we're funding somebody, you know, to live off the state, tax-free. We're paying for that. Why should we fund them?
Yeah, but Steve, your argument's not actually absurd, because people actually believe that in this country.
Yes,
and I'm not talking,
I know,
about
and I'm sure B is one of those people.
I don't know if I want to put words in his mouth like that. But remember, you know, he doesn't hate poor people. He just thinks that they should stay
I'm not saying
him.
Poor people are criminals, John. Oh. Far from it. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that, you know, people in prison are funded by the taxpayer.
Yeah.
You know? What's their point to society? Why are we paying for them?
They don't really contribute anything, do they?
No, exactly. You know, and let's face it, you could free up that money from the prisons to pay for the education system.
But we shouldn't be paying for that anyway.
So, you know.
No, hang on.
Obviously, heavily laced with irony there, I want to point out.
Yes, yeah. I think if nobody could pick that up in his voice, then we're just doomed on this podcast, to be honest. You know, people that join it halfway through or something, and then you're there with your...
Yes, I quite agree with that. That's a perfectly right statement.
The Daily Mail is right. French people are terrible. And that's what liberal podcasts are. Just going back to this housing thing, you know, I understand the financial issues here of, you know, funding people living... You know, a £2,000 a week house, you know... How can you, with
absolutely,
the extremes, how can you defend that?
Yeah,
for the
I know, because you've got to talk about a fair society, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's not right for one family in Cardiff to be living in a 3-bedroom council estate house, you know, which is costing them £200 a week, but then the same family from the same sort of social demographic living in London is then getting, you know, £800 a week to pay for their rent. You know, that just doesn't add up, unfortunately. But, you know, I do believe, as I said, there is something to be said for the fact that actually this is where I'm from. This is where my family are. You know, this is this area. You know, my family have been here for generations. Why can't I live here?
Well, you can't live here because you can't afford it. That's
precisely. Right. And that's, you know, where the government
is. And you're a hard-working, you know, tax-paying, you know, absolutely, well-educated person.
Because otherwise, what we're going to do is we're going to end up creating, exactly as Boris Johnson's alluded to, exactly as Chris Bryan's alluded to, whole regions, whole areas of cities, of towns, of suburbs, whatever, which are
either slums or Georgian palatial townhouses and
palaces, you know.
And some people would say that's a good thing, on the face of it. You know, well, we'll just keep the poor people all together, and then, you know, it'll be fine. Mm. But hello, as you know, do not know what Victorian London was like. Maybe not first hand, but you know, maybe go and read a book.
Yeah.
You know, I never was a fan of history, but, you know, you got to learn your lessons from it.
Well, you know, go and read your history, say, about Merthyr or something like that. You know, when you had people, you know, two, three, four families living in one, two up, two down sort of property.
And they weren't lazy, not doing anything.
They were working hard for their lives. And, you know, they were subject to, you know, terrible living conditions, you know. And then you had, on the flip side of that, the Crawshay family building another very nice father castle.
But, and the point I just want to go to, and this is maybe bringing the media back in again, it's people saying we need to cut everybody's housing benefit off the back of this one anecdote of some guy screwing the system for £2,000 a week. So one guy goes and does that, and we need to punish the entire working class. Well, again, do you know what justice is? Do you believe in justice? If you don't believe in justice, then okay, fine. But maybe, you know, maybe you'd prefer Iran or somewhere like that, you know?
Yeah.
The government's come down for some criticism of this, even from within their own ranks. You know, it's another issue that could potentially divide the coalition. But there's just too much of this I don't care about anyone else sentiment, stuff them all, why should I pay? And all right, it may be born out of people that are feeling the pinch because of the recession. You know, people who do value hard work. I value hard work.
Yeah.
And I don't like to see it being squandered on people who are idle, but to conflate the poor working class.
As you say, you know, those idle people are the minority, not the majority.
And I just think, ultimately, this reactionary effort is just going to, it won't just affect lots of poor people, it'll just affect the country as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So,
agreed.
Right, well, I'm going to have to wrap it up there. We've been going on long enough. I'm not going to pimp our stuff. We've done it all at the beginning.
Well, no, I think we should pimp it again, actually. I think we should just very quickly pimp the fact that we're going to the Skeptics on the 15th of November in
Monday, Cardiff.
And what's the name of the pub? The
Promised Land,
which is on Windsor Place.
It is.
And also our great debate.
Yes, and I need to put a shout out as well because we're looking for suggestions.
Suggestions, questions, you know, get involved. Do you think religion is a force for good?
Or not?
Or not. Let us know through the usual channels.
Yeah, there's a new Facebook page, which, as I said, I'd set up. That has now been set up. You can go and find that on Facebook. Join. And we will also be putting that poll on there. I'm planning on putting it on a week before the debate. So I'm going to announce it in the podcast before and say the poll is officially open. And it's not just going to be a case of, do you agree or disagree with religion for a force of good? I want people, if they're undecided, to also, I want that metric there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it'll be interesting to see a before.
But we really do want your comments because, you know, that debate is going to be assisted by your comments in on the night. So please do feel free to leave some comments on our Facebook
and questions
group
as well. Questions to Steve, who's all for the motion, and questions for me, the evil heathen git who thinks it's all a waste of time.
Absolutely. And you can still contact us through Twitter.
Of course. At ThinkRant.
Indeed.
Well, thanks very much for listening, people. It's been a long one, but it's been a good one. We'll see you next week.